Caitlin Galvin went out on the streets of Tralee yesterday in the immediate aftermath of Leo Varadkar's bombshell decision and announcement, and asked people what did they think of him as Taoiseach and who should succeed him in the job.
I don't really follow politics, but I suppose, and in my view, I think every politician is kind of the same. Without sounding too cynical, they get one person in, they don't do their job, you know, they vote, they replace them with this person, and the problems still remain, you know? So, who knows? I think that it's good that he's stepping down, but it's a question of whether or not the person replacing him is going to be any different.
I thought he was okay, but it doesn't bother me if he's going or whatever. I think they're all near the same.
I think it's quite nice what they're doing, but like if he's thinking then it's not his job and he can't do it anymore, it's good then he understands it and leaving his place. Because if he keep doing his job and he have in mind then he don't like the job and can't do the job, he will do it worst. So
I'd say he got tired. I'd say so anyway.
He did have a long stay in government. Some people would say he has done an awful lot for the country. Would you agree with that?
I would, yeah. I think he was very good, actually.
And who would you like to see replace him, if you could think of anybody?
Pascal O'Donoghue. That's what I think, anyway.
I only heard about 20 minutes ago, and it's the first time I've respected him in a long time, to be honest with you. But it did come as a shock, I guess.
So you think he made the right decision then?
Yeah, I think he made it a year too late.
A year too late?
6 months too late, yeah, I do, yeah.
And what is it that makes you say that?
I don't think he was a great advocate for the Irish people, if I'm honest with you. And I think what he said about St. Patrick over, I don't know if you heard it, obviously you did, over in the States last week, I just don't think it was right for the leader of our country to be speaking about, you know, our patron saint in such a political way. So that really drove me over the edge, I guess, when it came to Leo, yeah. I think the referendum probably last week was a big factor in it, and I personally think it's a political move on behalf of Fine Gael. I think they know that they're going to struggle in the locals and the general possibly coming up, and I think Leo stepping down is a political move to try and gain some traction back for themselves, yeah.
Oh, jeez, that'd be great, Fine Gael, man. I would, yeah. I don't know. I tell you, I would be now. That's my first to hear now, wouldn't it? Because I was doing two jobs in the morning. I didn't hear no news at all yet.
Yeah. So would you say he's done a good job then in his time?
Yeah.
Who would you say maybe would be a good replacement for him for the party?
Oh, Jesus. I'd say Simon Comey, anyway. I'd definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I think that personally, better off that he resigned because he wasn't the best.
Okay.
Yeah, his opinions weren't... He had his opinions, but he kind of disregarded everyone else's, which I didn't like very much about him.
Yeah. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. And who do you think would be a good replacement for him, or have you had any thoughts on that?
Oh, I haven't had any thoughts.
Is this big news for people of your age?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Really affects us, like
we're always talking about how we don't really like him, yeah. So when we heard he resigned, I actually shouted yes in the middle of class.
And so you don't think he's done an awful lot for the country in his time in office?
No.
Well, I feel like he helped a lot during COVID, but that's kind of it.
Yeah.
I don't know really, because it came as a total surprise.
So you did hear the news, did you?
I did, yeah. It came, but it came as a total surprise when I heard it.
Yes. Yeah. And do you have any ideas in your own head, maybe, who might take office after him?
Haven't a clue.
Would you say Leo has done well in his position in his time?
Yeah, very impressed with him, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed, let's say, that he's stepped down. Because I would be a Fine Gael supporter. Yeah, but I don't follow politics that closely. He's done a lot for everybody. You know, he's across the board, like he's looked after all, you know, all aspects of Irish life.
It came as a bit of a surprise to me, yeah. I think overall he was a good leader. And we'll just see what happens now.
Any ideas maybe as to who might take his place as the head of the party?
I think Simon Harris will be the new leader of Fine Gael, yeah.
I'm glad he's gone.
You're glad he's gone?
Yeah. I never want him down the first place.
So do you think that the decision was made too late?
Yeah. Should have never been. There's plenty of many women that are well capable of Northern Ireland.
There you go. That's a divergent views there amongst the public in Tralee. Caitlin Galvin talking to them. People of all ages, all walks of life, giving their view on Leo Varadkar as Taoiseach of the country. In a moment, we're going to be speaking to Deputy Brendan Griffin, Fine Gael Party Deputy for Kerry, about Leo Varadkar's time in office. But first, what do you make of this? This was the exchange in the Dáil. A lot of comments coming in about this exchange between the Taoiseach and Social Democrats leader Holly Cairns in the Dáil yesterday. This was his last leader's questions because of the timing of everything and the Easter recess and all of that. Have a listen and let me know what you think.
And we've come through, I believe now, a very serious cost of living and inflation crisis, which is now coming to an end. And the truth is, Deputy, we're never going to wake up in a country that doesn't have problems or challenges. There will always be problems and challenges. There will always be a crisis. And if not one, there'll be two or three. That perfect country that has no problems, it doesn't exist. Only exists in fairy tales. And we should be honest with the public about that. And yes, an enormous challenge we face is housing. And we've worked very hard on that. Supply, double now what it was when I first became Taoiseach, and I think it can double again. First-time buyers buying homes now at a rate we haven't seen in nearly 20 years. And social housing being built at a rate we haven't seen since before either you or I were born. And I wish we could have done more and done faster. Absolutely, I do. And my biggest regret, if there is one, is that it's not possible to solve all the country's problems at once. But we'll keep working on it.
One of the biggest problems for this government is just not being able to acknowledge the issues that people are facing and to refer to them as, when if they were addressed, to be fairy tales is farcical. It's not a fairy tale to have access to disability services. It's not a fairy tale to be able to own a home in this country. None of these things should be considered fairy tales.
Okay, what do you make of that exchange there? Was Holly Cairns being unfair and twisting his words, or was that a proper criticism of the government in terms of its failures on housing or to do enough, fast enough, to try and solve the housing crisis? If you have a view on that one, get in touch with us on the show or on Leo Varadkar in general. We want to hear from you. With me on the line right now is Fine Gael Deputy for Kerry, Brendan Griffin. Deputy Griffin, good morning to you. Were you as surprised as everybody else at yesterday's announcement?
Good morning, Gerry, and good morning to everyone listening. I was, absolutely. I was going about my morning routine here in Leinster House, and, it was a regular Wednesday morning. There was a lot of stuff on the agenda. I was doing some research for the Oireachtas Committee, and I got a phone call around 10:30 from a colleague to say that there might be something happening. And then over the following hour, it was just speculation, text messages, WhatsApps. And then by 12 o'clock, we found a group of us inside around the television, huddled, watching the announcement the same as everyone else. It was a pretty surreal moment, actually. It was one that certainly will live with me for a long time in terms of it was fairly monumental and just one of those things that was out of left field. Normally, you'd have an idea about these things, or there would be rumours, or there would be, you know, some bit of a sign that something big was coming, but this one was just totally a surprise to everybody, and it was a very strange day around Leinster House yesterday, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, did he say last night at the parliamentary party meeting, I couldn't find anyone to stab me in the back, so I fell on my sword?
Yeah, no, he did say it in jest, in fairness. And one colleague from the back row said, I didn't realise you were looking for someone to stab you in the back. But
and in if fairness, only I'd known.
Yeah, and no, I saw it in social media reported, and depending on the way it's phrased or the context, obviously, you know, the humour might have been lost, but it was some dark humour. But he did say that. But actually, what the parliamentary party was last night was just a 2 or 3 hour meeting where people just thanked Leo for his service, not just to the party, but to the country. And again, not just in my contribution, not just for the last 7 years as leader and for most of that as Taoiseach, but for the time before that as a minister. And he was very good to our county as well. I can absolutely assure you of that in terms of the number of projects. But before that, going right back to the late 90s when he was a member of Young Fine Gael and Fine Gael. I referred last night to the fact back around the early 2000s when most of us were in Young Fine Gael and, you know, having a good time and socialising and enjoying the social element of it. You know, Leo was writing policy documents on things like childcare and housing and all these different things, you know. So he was very much someone who stood out from an early age, but has given many years of service, public service to the country. I was listening to the Vox Pop there and, you know, absolutely, look, the great thing we live in a democracy and people are entitled to their opinions and are entitled to like politicians and dislike them or to be indifferent. But I suppose, look, something that echoes what Kieran Cannon said earlier in the week. Look, people just want to get on and do their job and just to do their work, and they don't expect any different treatment, but they certainly should be able to just do their jobs as well. And, you know, I suppose, look, people have to accept that there are politicians, and I know politics has a bad name for good reasons over the years and different scandals and everything else, but there are an awful lot of people in politics at every level, whether it's national or local level, and they just want to get on and do a good job and help people and contribute to their communities. And in fairness, I think most people recognise that as well, you know. But it's the end of an era from a Fine Gael perspective. It's an end of an era from the country's perspective as well. But, you know, they're, I suppose, very quickly things have moved on today to who will succeed him and that succession process and all of that as well. So that's politics for you. When you're gone, you're gone. And,
it's an unsentimental business. It moves on straight away. Who's the next person who's going to have power? But before we talk about that, what's your view on, I suppose, the reason why he stepped down? And the fact that, like, as someone said to me yesterday, has he done a Jurgen Klopp in it? I've been here for a long time. I may only be 45, but I'm no longer the best person for the job. I don't have the energy for it. So better to get somebody else in who is.
It's funny you mentioned Klopp. That's exactly the comparison I made to a colleague last night. I said, what's next? Is it first Klopp, now Leo? But I would say I see this as burnout. That's what I recognise it as anyway, is a guy who has just worked himself completely, you know, to the limit. And feels himself that there's, you know, to be honest to himself, he has no more left to give. That's what I'd see it as, to be honest. And not everybody recognises when they come to that point, I think, and that's maybe been one of the problems of politics for many years. But I think it's a case that he has given us everything. To be 13 years at cabinet and for 7 of those to be spent as either Taoiseach or Tánaiste, I mean, that has to take an enormous toll on one's, you know, on their energy levels, on their physical health, on their mental health, I would have to say, probably as well. Not that there's any indication that that's a particular issue for Leo, but I would say he knows his limits, and I'd say there's a case of knowing that, you know, that there's not much left in the tank, and it's time for someone else to take over. And look, that's an admirable quality as well, for someone to be able to recognise that themselves. But I'd say that's what it is in a nutshell, you know. I think there's he feels he doesn't have what it takes to lead a party and lead a country, and that requires a hell of a lot. So he's making the move now while he feels it's the right time. So you have to respect that. But I think no one could fault him in terms of the effort he has put in and the energy he's given to it, and the amount of work and the hours he's put in every week.
Did he make errors though in his time, and particularly when it comes to yourself, and I'd say Fine Gael in Kerry, with that decision not to appoint you as chief whip? How do you feel about that? Watching him yesterday, say my time is up.
I absolutely, absolutely feel no grievances towards him. You know, I'm in a happy space in my life at the moment. And look, these things, I've always been philosophical about these things. They happen for a reason. I think I used the comparison of Jack O'Connor going for another sporting analogy this morning. I think I used the comparison that Jack O'Connor can only field 15 minutes any one time there, Jerry, with you last year when I was announcing that I would be leaving at the end of the stall term. And that's what Leo had to do in relation to picking his team. Similarly, you know, he has lots of other decisions to make across a whole, you know, range of issues every day in his job. And I'd never want that job. The level of responsibility and the demands on a person is almost superhuman. I bear no personal animosity against him. We're still very good friends. And I wish him very well for the future. And look, he had to do what he had to do, and that was it. And
Does it give you pause for thought on your own decision? Or does it cement for you the reason why you got out?
Yeah, a bit of both, really. I mean, there was a bit of crack around the place yesterday. Fellas saying to me, "Oh, sure, you'll be back now, Griffin, and all this, carry on, you know, run into the house." And I was kind of saying, "Come back for the Kiel B team is probably the more realistic prospect, I'd say, now at this stage." But I'm very happy where I am. I mean, I made a decision early last year, and that stands. I don't envisage any circumstances how that would change in the future. Yeah. And
one of your party colleagues, Seamus Cussie Fitzgerald, has reversed his decision to leave politics. He looks like he's going to be added on by Fine Gael and the ticket in West Kerry. So he's done a U-turn. You're saying that's not the road you're going to travel.
He has, and just want to welcome Seamus back to the fold as well. He's given 25 years of great service to the party and to Kerry, and wish him well in the forthcoming campaign. Of course, look, people are entitled to change their minds. And we have seen cases in the past, you know, other cases where people have announced their retirement and they've changed their minds. But I don't envisage that in my case. I'm looking forward to a more normal life, I suppose I put it that way. But I do intend to continue to contribute to my community and to the county in whatever way I can. And I don't think you can ever lose that if you're so motivated as to go into politics in the first place. I don't think that you can just shrug off that want to make things better and change things, and, you know, getting annoyed or angry when you see things that aren't and that you want to change and to put right. So, you know, I think that's something that I'll always have. So I'll always want to contribute in whatever way I can. But look, from my own perspective, I suppose, look, just in terms of where I'm at in life, in terms of family and stuff, I don't see a busy ministerial career. I think it would be very hard to do both, you know. I did it before and it was very, very difficult. And, you know, it's just, to be honest, I really value those few short years that I have with my family while they're young, while the kids are young, and with my wife. And I want to make the most of that. And it's, look, I've seen colleagues around Leinster House, and they're really never at home. I mean, if you're particularly in higher office in terms of ministerial position, whether it's a minister of state or a senior minister's job, you are really on the road constantly, and you are the property of the state. And that's for some people. I did it for a while, and I wouldn't see myself back there again, Jerry, to be honest. I think it's just, okay, you know, it's a very, very, very difficult life, and it's good to do it for a while. I've no regrets about having done it. But at this stage, I don't envisage myself back there anyway, put it that way.
Okay, Brendan, there's the count, by my count right now, is 11 nominations have come in for Simon Harris to replace Leo Varadkar as leader of Fine Gael and Taoiseach of the country. Colin Burke, Peter Burke, Frankie Feehan, Neil Richmond, Senator Martin Conway, Senator Sean Kyne, Tim Lombard, John McGahan, Barry Ward, Francis Fitzgerald, MEP Francis Fitzgerald, and Maria Walsh have declared. Have you a preference?
I do. I have a clear preference. There's one candidate that stands out for me within the parliamentary party, I think, who has been outstanding in my 13 years of working with them. So I have a clear preference, yeah.
What is that preference? Who is it?
Well, I think Simon Harris would be the obvious successor to Leo Varadkar, and I understand that he will be declaring officially today, and I will be supporting him. I think he's been, in my time, we both entered the Dáil on the same day in 2011, and he has been someone who has stood out to me as being, you know, an outstanding minister, outstanding TD, someone who's been a really, really strong leader, particularly, I suppose, in the time of COVID, really showed his mettle. But he's been a very good friend to Kerry, especially over the last 4 years in his new role as Minister for Higher Education, Kerry College, Kerry MTU, you know, lifelong learning has been a real, has really benefited from him at the Pretty Polly project, which is one I worked really closely with him on as well, to get it moving. I think he would be an excellent leader of the party and leader of the country, and he's someone who I'll be formally supporting if and when he declares later today.
Yeah, it looks like Helen McEntee has now just announced on LMFM she will not be contesting the leadership. Are we heading for a coronation?
I wouldn't put it that way. I mean, look, we have established rules and procedures within the party. And, you know, if there is only one nomination, well, that will be the situation that nominee will go forward as the Fine Gael proposal for Taoiseach. If there are others, and there may well be others, and we have many talented people within the party and within our ministerial ranks in particular, so there may well be a contest, yes, and if there is, I'm pretty sure that it'll be, you know, it'll be something that'll be done very honourably, and just at the end of it, we will have someone who will emerge as the winner of the contest. But right now, just looking at the number of people and just from speaking to people within the parliamentary party, there seems to be very, very strong support for Simon Harris. I suppose one thing I'd say is that, look, I'm in a different situation now, I suppose, in that, look,
I can...
Yeah, and I suppose, look, I can't be accused of looking for something out of this or, you know, being, you know, only supporting him because I think he's going to win and all of that. I mean, the reason I'm supporting him is because, look, I mean, I'm not going to be a TD in the next Dáil. You know, I think he's the right choice for the party at this time. And I think he's the right choice for the country. I think he will bring the energy that we need and the leadership that we need at this time. And he's a young man. And we have particularly, I suppose, that generation under 40, you know, feel maybe disenfranchised or maybe that our party hasn't done enough for them in recent times. And I think that Simon could be the person to reconnect there and to drive on a new agenda, particularly on behalf of that section of society maybe who feels somewhat disenfranchised at the moment.
Let me ask you this, with regards to disenfranchisement and people who feel about there should be a clear new mandate from the country, in North Kerry Corner, there is no agreement in the programme for government that says Fianna Fáil should support a third rotating Taoiseach. It's now up to Fianna Fáil to stand up and be counted. In other words, push for an election. What's your response to that argument, that there should be an election?
Look, the Dáil is tasked with many, you know, jobs, and one of them is to elect the Taoiseach. And when the majority of the Dáil votes for a Taoiseach, that's how a Taoiseach is elected. Within the programme for government, look, Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan came out yesterday. The agreement is between the three parties. The internal matters of the party are just that, whether it's the Green Party or Fianna Fáil or ourselves. You know, what happens within the party is a matter for our party, and we'll deal with that. But look, just to say as well, Gerry, I suppose, look, I've been inundated with calls and messages from supporters, from members of our party here in Kerry as well, with a very strong support for Simon Harris as well. That's something I'm cognizant of as well. He has really resonated with people, I think, especially over his many trips to Kerry over the last number of years, and has engaged with people. And I think he'd do a good, very good job. But look, if someone enters the race, you know, I wish them well. I would think, though, my own personal view would be that I think in terms of stability and in terms of what's right for the country, and that has to be obviously the number one priority, I think it would be best to have some certainty on this by Monday when the nominations close. That would be my preference, and that we would have an agreed candidate and move forward, and that the country would know where we stand. And I think as well, look, for you know, obviously as a politician, you always have to be thinking of the next electoral outing as well for colleagues, in terms of our candidates for the local and European elections as well. I think, you know, having certainty in relation to the leadership of the party as quickly as possible, and that would be by next Monday, would be important for our canvassers
for
and for our
going to the doors,
out in the doors.
Who would have enjoyed yesterday, a listener says, Gerry, it's days like today that will miss Michael O'Regan. I found myself looking for his opinion on Twitter yesterday, but then I remembered.
Yeah, I know. I thought of him yesterday. Absolutely, he would have been reveling in it yesterday. I've missed him, and you know, since his passing, and a number of various issues that have arisen. And I know, speaking to people in Kerry, people sometimes forget and they tune in at 9:30 on a Friday morning, and then they realise, you know, that they won't be hearing him again. Absolutely, and like Michael always had a unique take on these events, and you know, would have always spotted an angle, or would have spotted something different maybe that most other people wouldn't have spotted. And certainly there would have been humour as well in his assessment of things as well. So hopefully he's looking down at this and enjoying it, and I'm sure you know, I, Gerry, the people of Kerry who enjoyed him over the years and enjoyed listening to him, they have those fond memories, and they have, you know, those you always have those archives there as well. And I'd say don't ever be shy to play them from time to time, because people always love to hear his voice, and they love to hear as well how much he enjoyed talking. You could hear it in his voice when he was talking to you. He really, really enjoyed being on Radio Kerry. You can tell from someone's voice when they're enjoying an interview, and you could tell in his voice he was so enthusiastic about it, and so just you know, loved politics. And he's a huge loss to politics, to Ireland, to Kerry. And days like yesterday were made for people like Michael O'Regan.
They certainly were. Brendan, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for talking to us about that in the programme this morning. That's Deputy Brendan Griffin, Fine Gael TD, at least until the next election, which now looks like it may well happen in the spring of next year, reaffirming his decision to leave politics, not changed by the the nature of events of yesterday. Bears no ill will to Leo Varadkar for what happened. Still friends with him, and feels that Simon Harris is the best person to lead Fine Gael and the country over the next year or so. If you have a view on any of that, get in touch.